what we do. Tonight, we have Pastor Isaac. Pastor Isaac has been with us all through from the time he came. I know Pastor Isaac back Africa in Kiambu. And the time he came to America, he joined the ministry. He has been with us, but he's a quiet guy. He always come and sit there. But I said, you know what? You never minister to us. We want, because we are gifted, God to stir up. We want to stir up the gift God has given you. Hallelujah. And tonight, he's one of our, our minister who's going to deliver the word of God. And I know, Pastor Isaac, God has something he has put in your heart. Welcome. This, you know us all. This is God's family. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Evangelist Hilda. Let's appreciate the woman of God with a very good hand clap. Come on, give the Lord a better hand clap, please. Amen. Thank you so much for having me and my wife, who is going to be greeting you in a short while. And I always ask her to pray for me before I speak. Not that I don't believe in other people's prayer, but I believe in her prayers more because I have a testimony of what the Lord has done, through our union of marriage. And so we thank God so much. Thank you so much, everybody else that is part of the leadership of this ministry, for even thinking of inviting us. It's true, I've been attending, maybe not every time, because I'm a theological student sometime, and sometimes I'm also invited outside the city, and so I'm traveling here and there. I remember that this was the very first meeting that I attended when I came to Dallas, because I first of all came to Kentucky, and I was there for about 6 months, and then I moved to Dallas, and my hosts, were part of this ministry, and so this was the very first meeting that I came to. And that time I remember that people were praying so powerfully for Pastor Mogo. I remember that. Those of you can remember back, something was happening. And, listening to that kind of prayer that was coming from this house, I said, my God, I thank God that I have found the right place. I don't even need to struggle. My GPS, my spiritual GPS told me, you have arrived at your destination. And so I thank you so much, Evangelist Hilda. As she said, I've known her back from home, a very aggressive woman of God in the spirit. And we thank God for what he is doing through you and through this ministry. Amen. My wife is going to come and say hi to you. And then from there, I'll just share the word of God. Amen. Please welcome my wife with a good hand clap.
Thank you. Hallelujah. I thank God for this opportunity to come together to hear the word of God. My name's Mary, and I thank God for every one of you. I thank God for Sister Hilda. God bless you. And I'm always encouraged by the gathering together of God's people, because the word of God says that wherever two or three gathers in his name, he is there in their presence. So I believe that our God is here, and it doesn't matter what, that everything is possible wherever God is. We are not by ourselves. The presence of God is with us. Sometimes we kind of like take the meetings of the people of God by numbers, but it never goes by numbers. It goes by the preparation of your heart and the expectation that you have before God. So God bless you. We're going to pray for the man of God even as we hear the word of God. Everlasting Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you because of gathering us here together in your name, so that, O God, we may hear your word, O God. We thank you for the power in your word, for the life in your word, and for the strength that is in your word, O God. Thank you because your word is not going to leave us the same. You have a reason and a purpose of bringing each one of us here, O God. You have separated us from many, many things to bring us together here, O Lord. and there is no gathering of the righteous that our God you despise. We want to thank you for your servant. Anoint him this evening to speak your oracles with boldness, with strength that comes from you, O God. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that help us minister your word as you desire in the name of Jesus. We bind every work of the enemy that comes to distract us to hear from your word. And we thank you because we're going to become as your word is this evening. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Amen. We are ready to roll into the Word of God. I am an associate pastor at the Life Church of Mesquite. In case you're wondering where I fellowship. The Lord planted us among the African American community there, and so we are shining the Kenyan light among them, and we thank God for what He is doing. Amen. For those of you who are wondering about my white hands, let me just explain a little bit. This is just about pigmentation. And we go through different challenges in life, and I decided to use this to my advantage, especially when I came to America. If I go to a place and they are, preferring the black skin, I show my face. But if I go to another place and they are preferring the white skin, I just show my hands. And that way I get through whatever places, and so I decided to take that to my advantage. Amen. Let me just give you a brief testimony about myself before I share the word of God. I have grown up in a very humble beginning and a humble life. I have been raised by a single parent who went to be with the Lord about 5 years ago. And myself and two siblings, we have gone through a lot of hardships. I do not have enough time to tell you all that. Now, among all the things that we went through, one of the biggest challenges, especially in my teenage as I was coming up, was that I was not able to speak like I'm speaking to you. I was a great stammerer. In fact, in my village, I had been nicknamed in Kikuyu, Ng'ang'age Todoiri. This is because I used to stammer. I could not complete even one sentence. In school, they taught us English. If someone tells you, I love you, it's always polite to say, I love you back. So when the girls realized that I was a stammerer, a guy would come and say, I love you. I'd try to say, I love you too, but then I'd go like, ah, 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 and it wouldn't come out. It was so bad that my mama used to send me to a neighbor's house. Maybe in the process of her cooking, she would run out of one of the ingredients. And so, she would say, just go to neighbor so-and-so and, ask for salt or whatever. And I would go there, at the neighbor and knock at the door. They would open the door. I would try to say, Deroni maito oheshubi. Something simple as that, it wouldn't come out. Sometimes I had to stamp my foot for the words to jump out, but they would not. And most of the times I would go back to my mama empty-handed. And through the window, when she saw me from afar off coming back empty-handed, she knew that that thing had struck again. That's how bad it was. There's no way I had dreamt ever in life to become a preacher. I used to look at myself in the mirror and say, I don't think preachers are supposed to look like this. And so it was a very depressing moment in my early childhood and in my teenage. To cut a long story short, this was changed in one time when I attended Acacia, an all-night prayer meeting. That's why I believe in prayer. Most of the places that I go to, by the way, to minister, I talk about prayer. Even tonight, that's what I'm going to talk about. Because, there are things that we talk about because we hear other people saying, but there are things that we talk about because we have an experience and we know that they work. And so during this particular night, I was part of a very small church in a very dangerous area, and there are some three sisters that wanted to spend the whole night praying. And they said, let's ask for brothers to come and keep us company so that we may feel secure as we pray. Now, they asked all the big brothers in the church, and all of them were committed. And so they say, why don't we ask this teenager to, accompany us? And so they came and asked me. And I thought that was a very prestigious work to be given in the fact that I was supposed to provide security to these big girls. So I told them, don't you worry, I will be there to give you security. And sure enough, when the day came, I showed up early, they came in, and and I said, all right, let's pray. I was part of a church that had a doctrine that believed that You cannot be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, before you are immersed in much water. And I was too short to be immersed, and so they were waiting for me to grow up a little bit. And so, guess what? I had a prayer list, and so I took it out, went through it several times. And, you know, when you're praying in a known language and it's a whole night, pretty much within an hour or even 2 hours, you're done, right? So, and then I said to myself, well, I wasn't even coming here to pray. I was coming here to give them security. You know, the Bible says watch and pray. So, they were supposed to pray and I was supposed to watch. And that's what I thought to myself. And so, guess what? They continued praying. I took two benches and I put them against the door. And I said to myself, anyone wanting to touch these ladies must go through me first. And I felt very important that night. You know how you feel important when you are giving security to these, especially, big girls. And they prayed, and I think it was somewhere around 3 a.m. You know, the reason why I took the two benches next to the door is because I wanted to make them my bed, and I slept. But around 3 a.m., I woke up, and I felt that in that church, the atmosphere had changed. I felt the power of God present in that church. I knew Jesus was there. You know, there are times when the presence of God is manifest and you can sense it. The presence of God is always there, but there are times when God allows us to sense it so that he may stir up our faith. And so I knew Jesus was in that building. I didn't know how to respond. I didn't know what to do, but I felt the glory of God. The sisters were still praying, especially they were praying in tongues. And so I say, well, I know I had gone through my prayer list, but let me just pray a little, more. So I crawled back from on top of the benches and knelt down. When I opened my mouth, I heard myself speaking in the language of the Holy Spirit for the first time. I had been filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit while I was asleep because the atmosphere in that church had changed. And guess what? In that moment, that's when my tongue got loose and I've been healed ever since. I always joke about it, and then I say I had a problem with my mother tongue, and so that night I received my father tongue, and that settled the accounts. Sometimes I do stammer a little. The last time I stammered a lot is when I was proposing to my wife. I really stammered, but then she said yes. So that was all right. Sometimes I do stammer even today, but if you're not too attentive, you may not know this. I think God left a small percentage so that I may know that the same hand that touched me that night, I need it every day and every hour. The reason why I've shared that testimony is because I do not know who I'm talking to. You might be going through something. God may have given you a promise. He may have called you to do something. But everything within your life is contradictory. I mean, everything says there's no way you can ever amount to what God has said. I want you to know that God is able to fix you. God is able to make out of you a new person until the people that will see you after the process is through, they will not believe that you are the same person. And that's why I believe so much in such monthly meetings, because we come here to seek God. We come here to hear God. We come here to get a word that is going to transform our lives. And so I thank God so much. Let's go to the Word of God tonight, share with you briefly, and then we will pray. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 38. Isaiah, chapter 38. I would like us to read verse number 1 all the way to verse number 8. I have a brief message tonight. Isaiah chapter 38. Let's begin reading from verse 1. The Bible says, in those days Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in the truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Verse 4, and the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Verse 7, and this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken. Behold, I will bring the shadow of the sandal which has gone down with the sun on the sandal of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down. You can read the same account in 2 Kings chapter 20, from verse 1 to 11, and it says the same, except maybe for a few variations here and there. But I would like to use the account from Isaiah. My message this afternoon is entitled, Winning the Case at the Wailing Wall. Winning the Case at the Wailing Wall. I've had a few friends of mine that have traveled around the world. And those that consider themselves to be blessed because they've traveled have set their foot in the land of Israel. And among the things that they have reported to us that were fascinating from the land of Israel is a section of the wall of the temple that Herod built, where Jews travel from all over the nations to go and pray. And the name of that wall is the Wailing Wall. And literally, you see thousands of people coming from different places, and they believe that as they pray at that wall, God intervenes on behalf, of their lives and on behalf of their children, on behalf of their families in amazing ways. Of course, there are those that look at the wall as sacred, and so they kind of almost worship the wall. But we have had intercessors from different places that travel to Israel, and they decide to pray at the wall, because there's something that happens in the place where prayer is offered unto God. It's almost like the atmosphere changes around that place. Have you ever walked into a place of prayer? Have you ever walked into a house where prayerful people live in, and for some reason you just sense there's something in the air? There is something, the power of God, there's the presence of God. You can always sense when the power of God is there. And so we have heard of testimonies of like parents that have gone, there to the Wailing Wall. They have stuck, in some pictures of their children that are not born again or whatever. Or some, have written some notes and some things. Some of them have taken, some diagnoses from doctors, and they have stuck them to the wall. And most of them have reported of miracles that God answered just because they went to the place of prayer. And I have used this phrase, the Wailing Wall, because I see Hezekiah also having a wall upon which he wailed and cried unto God. Hezekiah was in a situation that all of us either have found ourselves in or are in right now, or will find ourselves in sometime in the future, because that's the way life is. Life sometimes will bring you blessing and joy on one hand, and then on the other hand, you go through challenges. Most of us, when we were coming to the United States, we had this notion that, well, bye-bye to all the problems that I have experienced in Kenya. And so you come here, and soon you begin to realize that higher levels, higher devils. And so you begin to fight some unique things that probably you are not even fighting against when you were in Kenya. This is because that's the way life is. Sometimes life throws you a package, and once you start unpacking the package, you realize that it's mixed up of all kinds of things. Some things you like and some things you don't like. The only problem is that it comes in one package, and sometimes separating the issues is a problem. And in fact, some issues were meant to be together because they kind of like give you a balanced approach to life. That's why some of us probably we will never ever go to a place of prayer unless something was pushing us through. And so God, in his wisdom, sometimes allows life to hand us a package that is interesting and sometimes too hard to bear. Hezekiah was the king. What more do you want in life when you become the king? Don't we have some guys that are trying to fight it over in our country? Who wants to be the king? And they have gone to the Supreme Court. Everybody wants power. So this guy was enjoying power, was enjoying the kingdom. But on this other hand, the Bible says he got sick. And the Bible says he was about to die. Now, being a king, I'm sure he employed all doctors that he knew would help the situation. Because people in such kind of an authority, they must have consulted who is the best doctor, who is the best expert in this and this issue. But it looks like the verdict that had been given by the experts was not encouraging. They had told him probably there is no cure for this. We just don't know why your body is not responding to this kind of medication. It helped so and so, but we don't know what's happening with you. Have you ever been in a situation where you are trying to apply all the things that, helped someone else, but for some reason they are not working for you? I mean, some of us have taken the menu. We have taken the steps. We go exactly the way the people, went through for them to get the breakthrough. And when you go there, you just discover it's not working for me. So the experts were not encouraging. And as if that was not enough, the prophet of God, Isaiah, shows up. I don't know about you, but I have grown up in life looking to hear the word of the Lord. And I used to travel to many places to hear the word, especially when I used to hear that this man or woman of God is used of God to give people word of knowledge. Sometimes I did not have money, and so I used to walk from Kiambu all the way to Nairobi. In some of those meetings of Evangelist Werimo, different kinds of meetings. I used to walk all the way to Banana, those places, just to listen to, Reverend Margaret Wangari. I used to be tiny, so I used to just go through the crowd and just make sure that I'm there. I wanted to see how miracles are happening so that I may report back the things that are happening. And in those days, I remember I used to go and sit at the front there. And normally when this man or women of God, began to minister and they started giving, prophetic words to people, that's when everybody says, I wish he calls me. I wish he calls me. I know you are too holy for that, but I needed the voice of God anyway. And sometimes I would try to stick my neck like that so that the woman of God may see me and say. I remember one time I came too close. She pointed and then I said, now it's my time. And then the guy next to me was called. I said, come on. I just missed it with the inches. And I wondered why, for some reason, I wasn't called. I just don't know why. I wasn't lucky. I just don't know why. I don't know why the Spirit of God was not seeing me. And I had so many problems. And some people were called, that I thought probably were doing better. But all the same, don't we hope to receive a word of encouragement from a prophet when you see a prophet showing up? So I'm sure when Hezekiah looked out and saw the man of God come in, he knew good. The prophet of God is here. But unfortunately, the prophet even came to confirm what the experts had said. He came and said, thus says the Lord, put your house in order, for you're going to die. Talk of being in a place where everything is pointing to your defeat. It is pointing to the sunset of your life. There are times
Maybe not all of us, but there are times when you may find yourself in a place where even the sources that you think can give you encouragement at that time, they don't seem to give you the encouragement that you need. I don't know why, for some reason, it looks like sometimes heaven is not closed on us, but sometimes it's silent. And even when God begins to speak, he does not speak the word that you thought was going to give you the anchor. Because you feel like you are sinking in life. We have people that have gone through things until they wondered if God even remembered their names. And so Hezekiah is here. The experts are saying there's no cure. And the prophet has just confirmed that he was going to die. And in fact, he was told, put your house in order. At least he has, you know, he had an advantage. He was forewarned, and so he was supposed to begin to put his house in order. And the prophet left. What do you do? How would you respond to such a situation where there has been death sentence that has been, you know, pronounced over you, and the man of God who you thought was supposed to bless you has just walked away after probably, you know, pronouncing something that you didn't like? Now, understand me, I'm a man of God. I've been a pastor not for many years. I've been in the ministry for probably 22 years. Traveling evangelist and pastoral ministry about 7 years as a senior pastor, 3 years as an associate pastor. And I can testify to you that all the people that I pastored, they valued my word. Especially when they knew that I was operating under the anointing. When I started saying, I declare your blessing, I declare God to favor you, people would literally almost like, yes, that's what I needed. But you don't know how devastating it is for you to hear the man that you think is supposed to pronounce something encouraging telling you, I don't think there's any hope in this. And to be honest, some men of God know in their hearts that I am not sure about this, but because we are polite with the sheep, you don't speak. But you know, prophets, they just go ahead and say, thus says the Lord. How would you respond to such a situation? And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I have seen literally people that have depended so much upon a prophetic word until they do not know how to listen to God for themselves. And you got to know that God uses prophets, God uses servants, God uses different avenues to speak to us. But I want to show you today that when it comes to the matter of destiny, you need to be careful and you need to know how to take charge and make sure that you are dealing with God for yourself. His situation moved from bad to worse, and there was no hope. He was told, it's all over. It's over. There's no hope. Don't even try it. Prepare yourself to die. I don't know how I would have done. I don't know what you would have done, but it was a very difficult situation. But the Bible tells us in verse 2 that Hezekiah decided to turn to the wall. He decided to turn to the wall. That means Isaiah pronounces the word and leaves. Hezekiah decides to turn to the wall. Every time you see Jews turning to the wall, they are going to the place of prayer. Why did he turn to the wall? Could it be symbolic that he had been pushed by the issues of life until he was up against the wall? Have you ever had an awkward position in life where you think things have pushed you to the wall? And there is no more place to go to. He turned to the wall. Why did he turn to the wall? I have three reasons that I suspect might have driven him to that position. One, to shut the rest of the world out. You know, when you turn to the wall, most of the walls are blank. And so when he was facing the wall, he was literally shutting out the rest of the world so that he may concentrate and enter into business. Because there are times when you know, unless I do something about this, unless I face God myself, something is going to go wrong. And so he shut the rest of the world out. We're not told how long he faced the wall, but that man, he faced the wall and did not live there until God had intervened. When I was growing up as a little child, I was raised up in Pentecostal churches most of the times. I was a friend of the Presbyterian because my grandmother used to go there, and so I was also raised, you know, from the, you know, Presbyterian. I used to see most people during the time of prayer. Did you, I mean, those of you that can remember, every time people were told to, you know, to pray, they used to turn to the wall. Do you remember that? And I always ask myself, why? We were singing when we were facing this way. Now it is time to pray. People face to the wall. But I think that has helped most people to really get a breakthrough because they are shutting the rest of the world out. These are the moments where you decide that because I have come to a point where there is no one that can help me, I want to shut everything out. That's the time that people turn off their cell phones. Some of the people you are trying to complain that they are not returning your calls these days could be they are turning to the wall at that time. Because there are times when you try to measure up with everybody, you try to, you know, show like everything is all right and stuff like that, but then there are times that comes and you say, man, I need out. And you shut yourself out. It may take time, but it is always healthy. That's why some people, you are shooting them an email, they're not answering. WhatsApp, Facebook, I don't know what, they're not answering. Could be they have shut the rest of the world out, and including you because you are part of the rest of the world. Who knows? Why did he turn to the wall, number two? To withdraw the case from the hands of the experts and from the hands of Isaiah. To withdraw the case from the hands of Isaiah and from the hands of the expert. I just told you that when it comes to the matters of destiny, your destiny, it is an issue between you and God. He knew Isaiah had said, and he was a prophet of God. But by turning to the wall, he was withdrawing the case from his hands. And I want to challenge many of you because I don't have a lot of time to speak tonight. The reason why some of us are battling things that we do not know how to get victory is because we have literally placed our destinies in the lives of other people. You depend on others. Whatever they say, when they are not displeased by what you're doing, you are so oversensitive about what others are going to say. But people that get victory are those that withdraw their cases, the cases of their destiny, from the hands of the experts and from the hands of even the prophets, thank God for them, and from the hands of their friends. And they take the matters into their hands as they take them before God. Withdraw your issues from the hands of people. Take your issues to the right person. And I believe number three, he turned to the wall to petition the highest authority. Hezekiah knew that the voices that he had heard were valid, they were authoritative, but he also knew that authority comes in different levels. And there is a higher authority, and that is the authority of God. And I want to speak prophetically and tell you this, my brother and my sister. It doesn't matter what voice has spoken to you. I believe there is a higher voice. It doesn't matter what they have said about your immigration status, about your health, about whatever it is. And I tell you, like in this country, we have a lot of experts who will give you all kinds of expertise. They'll tell you this cannot be cured, this cannot be helped. Literally, you throw in an application and they tell you you are not qualified. I don't know what voice you have heard. But could it be a time that God is calling upon you to face the world and win the case at the wailing wall? Because most cases that the enemy has tried to take advantage so that he may oppress the children of God, the people that know their God and they know how to pray, they have taken them to the wailing wall. And I don't care how a person is. I don't care how weak they are. I don't care what kind of accent they have. If they can have access to the wailing wall, just give them a time. Wait for them because they will return from the wall with victory in their hands. And so the Bible says that he wailed, he cried. You know, crying is part of prayer. I don't know why I'm saying that. I know that some of us used to cry a lot when we were praying, especially when we were in Kenya, but when we came here, we became sophisticated. I'm not trying to advocate, pseudo crying, false crying, like the kind that I used to hear back in Kenya. Someone does not have the cry, but they are trying to gokihira. Or don't you remember some prayers like, Father, we thank you. We give you praise, Father. That sound is just trying, it's someone just trying to sound like they're crying. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you are so pushed to the wall by issues until even your language, you do not know, you cannot be articulate before God. God understands the language of tears. God understands the language of prayer. He understands the language of crying. And so he reminded God. And when he reminded God of the way he had walked before him. He reminded him about the loyalty of his heart. He had a nice time petitioning his case, the highest court in heaven. And the Bible says, because of the experience that he had at the wailing wall, several things happened. Let me just mention to them as we pray. One, the same prophet who pronounced death was commanded by God to make a U-turn. I prophesy a U-turn in your life in the name of Jesus. I declare that some people that have, the same people that have declared some things, God is going to make them make a U-turn and come and say it was not so. The same government that has denied you of anything is the same that is going to say approved in the name of Jesus. So he made a U-turn and he was told, go and cancel the first prophecy and say there is an extension of 15 years. That's the power of prayer. Number two, the Bible says that God also said, I'm delivering you and also delivering the city. I will protect the city. That means that the victory, the protection of the city was tied up to the victory of Hezekiah. Do you see that's why you cannot give up? Because you do not know who is connected to your victory and who is connected to your breakthrough. When you give up, you may cause the whole city to also suffer. Some of us, our victories are so crucial because our families are connected to our victory. Our clans are connected to our victory. I don't know who is wrapped up to your victory. That's why you need to press on and do not give up. Because who knows, as you get your breakthrough, it is going to spill over to the whole city. I don't know. But let me just say this, because I know when there's an anointing upon my life to speak a word to somebody. There are several people in this building tonight. The reason why you are fighting a battle that you don't understand is because it's not so much about you, but about others that are connected to your victory. Do not give up, because once you get your extension, once you get your breakthrough, others will not have to struggle. God said, I'm going to deliver you, and I'm also delivering the entire city. Number three, what happened?
There was so much power that was released. Isaiah said, he is going to be the sign. God will not only stop the sun, but he will take the sun back 15 degrees. Oh my goodness, God. There are only two individuals that have experienced that kind of a miracle. One was Joshua. God stopped the sun. Now here is Hezekiah and Isaiah. The Bible says, you know, and well, you know, if you read in 2 Kings, he was actually asked, would you like the Lord to take the shadow forward or backward? Then he said, it might be easy to take it forward. Let the Lord take it backward. In other words, God is able to get into your time, not only stop your time, but take it back so that you may get whatever you are supposed to get on time, because he is God. I always tell people, God is not just your redeemer, but he's also the redeemer of your time. Some of you think it is too late and you are getting old. It is not. God is able to stop the watch and rewind the clock so that you may arrive there at the exact time. The Bible says the sun was taken back. And that was the sign. And that day, Hezekiah had 15 years added to his life. I want to conclude by saying, I believe God is adding in your life something tonight. There is an extension of your contract. I want to declare to you by the anointing of God, there is an extension to your contract. There is an extension to your life. It is not over, my brother and my sister. Shut yourself from everything that you think is valid to speak to you and go to the wailing wall. It may not be pretty at the wailing wall. Your makeup may be messed up. Your hair may be messed up. Your name may be messed up. It's not pretty. It's a place of prayer. It's a place of fasting. It's a place of crying. It's a place of agonizing. But you shall return from that wailing wall holding the victory that is going to bring blessing not only to you but to others. Let's pray together. Stand on your feet, please, as we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jehovah God. Would you just take the hand of the person next to you and let's just take 1 minute to pray for each other. I just sense that I believe with all my heart that the Spirit of God is right now, you know, just moving and sending many of us to the wailing wall. Some of us, we are here in America. It was a result of prayer, but we are dealing with things and we think the same prayers that we used to pray cannot help us. But I know that God is stirring up something in the heart of his people. Come on, just open your mouth and just begin to pray for the person next to you. Pray that in the name of Jesus, that God will move in their lives in such a very special way. Even those that are right now facing voices that are speaking negative, that they will get their victory at the wailing wall. Thank you, God. Just continue praying. Continue praying for your brother and for your sister. You may not even know them, but just pray right now. Just pray that God will do a new thing right now in the life of your brother and your sister. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Sharabakorarabrasataya. We give you praise, Jehovah God. Thank you, Spirit of God. Koroboroborabarabababashata. Blessed be your holy name. Move by your Spirit, O God. Father God, right now, in agreement right now, Father God, we stand at the place of prayer. We know there is power in prayer. We know that the name of Jesus is above every other name. And that's why, Father God, we thank you tonight, because our sisters and our brothers are coming back from the wailing wall, holding the victory that will be enjoyed by their cities and their generations and even generations to come. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father God, that right now we are going past the experts. We are going past the prophetic words. We are going past every other voice, oh God. And we shut right now everything else out. And Father God, we take matters of destiny to you in prayer tonight. You are a miracle working God. There is nothing too hard for you. You are able to turn the tables. You are able to give favor. Make a way when there is no way. Do that which only you can do. We give you praise, O God. Thank you, Jehovah God.
Let us pray together. Let us pray together. Thank you, God. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you that your presence is here right now. We thank you, Father God, that even as Hezekiah won his case at the Wailing Wall, we know that we have been looking at winning our cases in pretty places, in places that look sophisticated. But we want to thank you that you are sending us back to the Wailing Wall. And Father, we can testify that there are many things that you've done in our lives because we went to the Wailing Wall and we prayed and believed you, and you are able to do it, oh God. And even the things that we are going through right now. And Father, I pray for every brother and every sister in this building who may have received a verdict right now that is declaring a death sentence of any kind, who has been declared over their life defeat and shame, that right now the tables will be overturned in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father God, that every person's destiny will come to pass, and there's no power that will hinder your children from marching forward. Father God, right now we undo every word that has been spoken, even by those in authority, that is hindering the destiny of your people. By the authority of God's word, we come against it right now. Father, we replace those words with your word. And thank you that even as you go to the Wailing Wall, we'll come back holding the victory that is going to be beneficial to others and to the future generations. I pray that let be a stirring up of the ministries, of the gifts, of talents, of the call of God, of prophetic words in the lives of your people. Let there be a stirring up right now. Even those that have given up and have become hopeless, let hope return. Let there be an extension of life. We give you praise, Father. We thank you for the mercy ministries. Thank you for your servant, Evangelist Hilda, and those that you have raised around her to support her. Father, we declare victory over this ministry. We pray that you will take it to the greatest heights. Thank you for the new doors that you're opening even right now. We bless your holy name, Father. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Wow.
Thank you so much.